Right. Good morning. Well, my name is Rick Smith, and I always like to start off by getting to know your name because you know my name. So on the count of three, would you just tell me your name? One, two, three.
Tyler.
Nice to meet you. Well, listen, I want to start off this morning by sharing a little bit. I'm going to tell you two things about me, okay? So it's very appropriate that we started this morning talking about buffets because I consider myself a buffet expert, a buffet well, let me just show you. In fact, just this last, actually 2 weeks ago, I went to the best buffet. This buffet had candy apples on it. Now, if you ever go to a buffet and you find a buffet with candy apples on it, that is the best buffet. Does anybody like candy apples in here besides me? In fact, let me show you what else is on the buffet. I got a little picture here. The next one is this right here. That's me going really amazing at this buffet. That is a candy apple and then creme brulee. Does anybody like creme brulee? Does anybody like flan? Come on. If you don't know what flan is, what you need to do after we get out of here, you need to go to your parents and tell them, hey, mom, hey, dad, take me to get some flan. And so flan is, that's the number one all-time best dessert in the world, flan. So you tell your parents, if they have not bought you flan, you need some flan. You can get that at Mi Cocina. All right. That's one thing about me is I like buffet. But there's another thing about me. There's another thing about me that you need to know. And this one's a little more serious. This one's a little more serious. I have an addiction. I have an addiction. And so I want to share it with you this morning. And my addiction, it started a long time ago, really. It started really as far back as I can remember. It started back before I was in middle school, really. And so maybe you can relate to this as I talk to you this morning. And the addiction kind of goes like this. It goes in to trying to find my identity, trying to find my worth in what other people think about me and things that I do, things that I can do to get you to like me. And so, you know, I can think about a lot of different ways. And so I brought this little monkey here. This monkey represents me, okay? So when you see the monkey, you see me. And so this box right here represents my life, okay? This box right here that you see represents my life. So I'm going to put myself into this box. And as I'm talking, you think about yourself. Maybe you also could be the little monkey, okay? So I'm going to put myself in this box. And I go way back. And this started back, you know, maybe in middle school. And there was one thing that I really wanted, one thing that I always wanted, and that was a jersey. That was a jersey. But I grew up in a really poor family, so we couldn't buy jerseys. But all the cool kids had these amazing jerseys, these authentic jerseys. I wanted a Jordan jersey. I wanted a Shaquille O'Neal jersey. And I wanted this amazing clothes. But for you, it may not be jerseys. Maybe it's like, man, I want this really awesome outfit. Maybe I want my parents to take me to the Nike store at North Park and get me the most awesome shoes. Maybe it's the new iPhones coming out. I got to have that. But I wanted this stuff to fit in. Maybe you can relate, but I wanted these shirts. I wanted this jersey. I wanted to do something, wear something so that people would like me. People would think that I was cool. And so I'm going to throw this in here. Then something else that I did that was amazing was my parents let me sign up for Taekwondo. Does anybody else ever do any karate around here? So I got this amazing karate belt right here. And then I did this really amazing thing where I broke a board before. Has anybody broke a board? This is amazing. All you guys have broken boards before. You guys are amazing kung fu experts. And so, but I got this right here. But here's the deal. Let me tell you something else. I would do this and I thought, man, this would be really cool. If I do karate, I'll be really cool. I'll be amazing. I wasn't very good at karate. That's the thing. So this was kind of a flop. Then I tried sports. Anybody, do we got any sports players in here? Okay. Do we got anybody in here who thinks they're a sports player, but you're really just not very good at sports? It's okay. This is a safe place. That was me. That was me. Hey, look, I had a jersey, but I was just on the team, right? I was like the manager, but not really. I mean, I was on the team. I just never played. So I thought maybe that would give me worth. Hey guys, come back. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you. Maybe for you, it's, sports. Maybe for you, it's academics. Maybe you go, man, I'm the smartest person in the room, and I know it, right? Like, if I were to look at everybody else in this room, maybe you're the one that goes, hey, I know that I'm the smartest person in this room, and my report card reflects that I'm the smartest person in this room. And maybe that is how you find your worth. Maybe that's how you find your identity. Maybe for you, it's the zip code that you live in. Maybe you go, hey, I have the biggest house of everybody else in this room. Like, not really. Like, I really... I'm not just making that up. Like, maybe you go, man, I really do have the biggest house of everyone in this room, and it's amazing. We have a pool with a lazy river in our backyard. It's amazing. Maybe that's you. Some of you really probably do have that. But here's what happened. Then I went to high school. And then it just grew. I began to do other things to get people to like me. I began to think, man, if I was just funny enough, if I talked enough, if I did stupid things in school that made people laugh, maybe that would really validate me. Maybe that would make people like me. Maybe then I would fit into the popular crowd. But that didn't work either. I would go home and I'd feel sad and lonely. And I'd feel like, man, I'm not as good as everyone else. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you go to school, like even tomorrow, you're thinking about what you can do to be liked by other people. And maybe you get your identity. Maybe you're like me and your addiction is, man, I want people to really like me. I just want them to like me. Then what happened was I dropped out of high school, actually. That's a whole other story. And then I started working. And in my pocket right here, I found this. This was, I think, my very first business card. I thought this was amazing. This is in a box in my closet now, by the way. But I worked for Sprint. I thought, man, this is amazing. Well, it's not that amazing. So that goes into the box. And then I eventually got a GED, went to college, and I got this thing right here. This is amazing. This is a college diploma. So I thought, man, if I get this college diploma, this will be amazing. I'll finally make it. If I can just graduate college, this will be amazing. This will help me make all the money in the world. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to have a lazy river in my backyard. Well, then I went to college, and I thought, you know what? I got to go to more college. So I'll go to college, graduate college, then I'll go to college again, okay? So then I went to college again and I went to seminary. I thought, man, if I just go to seminary, if I just learn my Bible, that'll be amazing. That will really help me be everything that I want to be. That will help people to value me, right? Well, guess what? This goes in the box of my life. This goes in the box of my life. And then I begin to find all of my identity in this stuff. Let me ask you a question. So these are some of the things I wrote down. Karate, friends, work. What about you? If this box represented your life, what would be in the box for you? I wrote down some video games. Maybe you go, man, I'm amazing. I play Call of Duty. I play Destiny 2, even though you're not old enough to play Destiny 2. Maybe it's Minecraft. But listen, come back. Let me ask you a question. Just stop for a second. Stop for a second. I want you to ask yourself a serious question. If this was your box and you had the marker and I asked you to come up here and on this box, write things down on this box where you're tempted to find your life, your identity, your worth, what would it be for you? You don't have to say it out loud, but I want you to think about it as we talk this morning. What would be the thing, even as I talk right now this morning, you go in, this is the thing about me. This is the thing about me that I get people to like me by, that people I validate myself by, that I find worth. And if it goes well with me, if I do really well at this thing, then I feel really good about myself. But if I don't do good at this thing, I feel bad about myself. Maybe like when I was in school, maybe if it was like, man, I'm in sports and I make this really amazing touchdown, right? I go home and I feel celebrated. I feel like I'm amazing. But maybe you go home and you fumble during the game. You lose the game for the team, and then you don't feel amazing anymore. Now you feel sad and lonely, maybe even depressed. So what is it for you that you go, man, if I do amazing at this thing, I feel really great about myself. If I don't do amazing at this thing, I feel really bad about myself. That might be the thing that you're tempted to find your identity in this morning. And so what we're going to do this morning, we're going to look at what the Bible says, what God says about our identity. You know, I like to say this. Have you guys ever been to a 3D movie before? You go into a 3D movie. This is such a good way to think about this. You go to a 3D movie and you get those glasses. I just hate wearing those glasses. I don't like it. It's annoying. But you have to wear the glasses in order to see the picture, right? You can see a picture, but it's distorted without those glasses. But the moment you put those glasses on, the moment you put those 3D lenses on, everything makes sense. Everything is clear in the picture. Likewise, as a Christian, likewise, as a believer, you and I have to put on the lenses of God's word. We have to look at our life through the lenses of the Bible in order for life to make sense. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. If you brought a Bible with you, I want you to open it up to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. This is maybe a passage that you've heard before. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. An easy way to remember that, Gentiles eat pancakes, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, I'll help you remember that. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And the main thing that you need to know is this. I'm going to give you one truth today. One truth, and we're going to talk about that the whole time we're together. And the truth is really this. Your identity is found not in what you do, but what God did for you. Your identity, and if you have a pen, write this down. Your identity is found not in what you do, but what God did for you. Your identity is found not in what you do, not in the things that you would write on this box, not in the things maybe if you're like me that fill this box up, but because of what Christ did, what God did for you. So here we go. We're going to look at the very first thing. What did God do for you? He's done a lot of things, but we're going to look at three things this morning. Number one, he saved you. Now, in this letter, this is a letter. It's kind of confusing because it's in a book and you don't really think about it being a letter, but this guy named Paul, who lived a really long time ago, wrote this letter to Christians. He's writing to a group of Christians, maybe not much different than yourself. He's writing to a group of Christians, and this is what he says, verse 8. If you have your Bible, Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." For by grace you have been saved through faith. Say saved. Saying by grace you've been saved through faith. And what Paul's doing here, he's talking to believers. And what Paul is doing is he's saying, hey, I'm going to remind you of something here. I'm going to remind you of something here because you might be tempted to forget this. If you're like me, I've been a Christian for almost, I guess, over two decades now. I'm 38 years old. I am tempted to still believe my identity comes in the things on this box, in this box. I could continue to write things around this box. And I'm tempted to believe this. The people in that Paul was writing to here, they were tempted to believe their identity could be found in other things too. And Paul says, hey, I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you of something, boys and girls, kids that are in wake, teenagers that are in wake this morning, that your identity is found because of your relationship in Christ. Here's what that really means. Now, he says, you've been saved through faith. But the question comes up, what does it mean to be saved? What does that even mean? Does it mean you come to church? Does it mean you do a lot of really good stuff? Does it mean you keep all the Ten Commandments and you never break them? You never tell a lie ever, ever in your life? No, here's what it means. Being saved means this. It means there has been a point in your life. There's been a point in your life where you have come to understand that you're not perfect. That you're not God. That you're not good enough to get your way to heaven. You see, a long time ago, in fact, how many of you have tried to read the Bible every year? You go, man, I'm going to start reading the Bible. I'm going to read the entire Bible. You open it up to Genesis and you read about God making everything, making the world. And then by the time like animals start talking, you get a little disinterested and you forget all about it. But here's what you need to know. Is that in the beginning, everything was perfect. That's a true story, by the way. In the beginning, everything was perfect. There was no sadness. There was no sickness. There was no loneliness. Cell phone batteries never died. It was amazing. It was amazing, but here's what happened. Adam and Eve did what you and I do. We start to think, man, our way is better than God's way. We know more than God. And so the Bible says that's when sin came into the world. Sin is really anything that we do that separates us from God. Anything that God has said, don't do this, or has revealed to us and we do it, that's sin. And so sin separates us from God. And so what Paul's saying is, hey, by grace you've been saved through faith. What does it mean to be saved? It means that you understand that here's you right here. You're standing right here. Here's God over here. And everything that you try to do to get to God isn't good enough. Listen to me. You can go to church 100 days in a row. You can memorize your entire Bible. And what Paul's reminding us here is, hey, that's not good enough. That won't get you to heaven. But you go, man, what about, I never killed anyone and I helped 100 old ladies across the street before I came to church this morning. The Bible says, hey, that's great. That's amazing. But that's not good enough to get you to heaven. That's not good enough to save you. So here's what you need to know. Is that Paul says, hey, the only way that you can get to heaven, the only way that you can get from here to here, if you want to know what it means to be a Christian, you need to know this. It isn't that you come to wake. That's really nice. But the Bible says the way that you become a Christian is you accept the free gift of salvation found in Jesus. That there's nothing you can do to go to heaven. Nothing good enough that you can do to go to heaven. And you have a sin problem. And that God sent Jesus Christ to earth to live a perfect life, a life. Jesus never said, I'm sorry to anyone. He didn't have to. He never apologized. He never messed up. He never hurt anyone's feelings. He was always kind. He was perfect. He was the perfect friend. He was amazing. And the Bible says he came to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on a cross. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And the Bible says, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to be saved, the only thing that you have to do, the only thing that you have to do is to believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead. That's it. And you will be saved. And so the number one thing that you need to know is your identity is as a believer in Christ. So let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have faith in Jesus? That's the first thing that you need to know. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection? As you sit here this morning, what you may have to do is ask your leader. You may have to go, hey, I've been coming to church for a long time. My mom and dad come to church here for a long time. But I have never personally trusted in Jesus. And so that's the first thing that you need to know. By grace, you've been saved through faith. That's the first thing. But number two is this. God worked so that we didn't have to. This is amazing. Look with me at verse 8. It says, by grace you've been saved through faith. This not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Our salvation and our identity in Christ is a gift. Completely given by God. How many of you are fans of Christmas? How many of you, Christmas is your favorite holiday? Favorite holiday. Okay. How many of you, Thanksgiving is your favorite holiday? All right. Well, hey, let me tell you something. Newsflash, we're 92 days away from Christmas. So it's right around the corner. Listen, come back. Let me tell you what a typical Christmas looks like for me. So typical Christmas looks like this for me. At Watermark, we typically work on Christmas Eve. So maybe you've come to a Christmas Eve service. Guess what? People have to work to do that. That's amazing. So we work on Christmas Eve. And so there's a couple different ways that we can work, but sometimes it works like this. We'll work in the afternoon, then come back in the evening and work. And so I will come to work on Christmas Eve. I have not bought most of my Christmas presents yet. Then after I work in the morning or the afternoon, I will get in my car and go to North Park Mall, okay? I don't know if you've ever been to North Park Mall on Christmas Eve before. There are a lot of people that also wait to buy their Christmas gifts on Christmas Eve, okay? So I go to North Park Mall, I fight the traffic to get to North Park Mall, then I try to find a parking space, okay? That's not very fun. One day you'll drive, and that's not very fun. So you try to find a parking space, you get a parking space, you get out of your car, you go into the mall. Then you've got to walk around to all of these stores to find that perfect gift and find the stocking stuffers, okay? So I'm trying to find stocking stuffers. I'm trying to find a gift. I go get the gift. I get back in my car. Then I got to try to figure out, do I have wrapping paper? Do I have tape? Do I have scissors? Do I have all the supplies that I need to then get the gifts, wrap the gifts, get them ready? So then I get back in my car, go home, get back in my car, come back to work, because I'll work sometimes the 11 o'clock service at Watermark, 11 p.m., so I'll work till midnight. Then I'll go home, get home after midnight. Then I get all of the gifts out of my car, go into my house, try to wrap all of these gifts, which, by the way, I am not good at wrapping gifts. Anybody else in this room, you're just not a good gift wrapper? Okay, that's okay. Freedom. So I'll try to wrap the gifts. Then, get this, I'm messing around with the tape, messing around with the scissors, trying to wrap the gifts. It looks really goofy, putting them all under the tree, and then like super late at night, into the morning, I'm going to sleep. That's what it looks like for me on Christmas Eve a lot of times. It is a hassle to get the gifts. It's a lot of hard work to get the gifts ready for Christmas. It takes me a long time. And here's what happens. 6 a.m. rolls around, 6:30, whatever time my kids get up. They get up. They immediately make a beeline into the living room where the gifts are. And they just start tearing into the gifts, into the stocking. They're ripping open all their gifts. They're going crazy at it. And guess what? They don't know. They don't have the slightest idea how much work it took for me to get those presents from North Park Mall wrapped under the tree for them to open and enjoy. You know what they do? They just simply open the gifts and enjoy them. Let me show you a picture. In fact, this is kind of a little picture of them on Christmas. They're pumped. They're excited. That's Noah. That's Jackson. We have another son on the way next month. But all they do on Christmas is just enjoy the gifts. They just delight in them. Here's the other crazy thing. As their dad, as their father, I delight in going to the mall and fighting all that traffic, doing all of that to get them the gifts. All that they have to do is enjoy the gift. All they have to do is enjoy all of the hard work that I put in to get the gift. Get this. This is a picture of God's love for us. He sent the best gifts. He did all the work. He sent Christ to earth to live a perfect life. And he says, hey, all you've got to do is accept the gift. All you've got to do is to sit down and open the gift of Christ. And that becomes your identity. In fact, this is so important. Paul says it again in verse 9. Look, he says this. He says, this is not a result of works. It's not a result of works. Everything that you have as a Christian, everything that you have as a Christian is because of what Jesus did for you. He did everything. Let me tell you what this means for you and for me. It means that you don't have to go home from school feeling depressed, feeling down, feeling lonely because you didn't fit in, because you weren't really amazing at sports, because you make bad grades. Guess what? You don't have to find your identity in all the things that the world finds their identity in, because you can just be a recipient of the grace found in Jesus and your identity. Here's what's amazing about this. Here's what's amazing. Look with me at the next verse. Here's what Paul tells us. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Let me tell you something amazing as we finish. Look right here. This word workmanship in the original language, if you were around when Paul wrote this, that word means poem. It means masterpiece. It means one of the most beautiful things that God ever created. You're God's masterpiece. If you're in Christ, if you have come to faith in Christ, the Bible says that you are his masterpiece. I brought with me today a painting. I've used this before, and it's a painting that someone that I know painted. This would be considered one of his masterpieces. This is a real painting. Some of you look at this and you're like, I could make that in my sleep. I would say try it, okay? But this is a masterpiece. This is signed by the guy who painted it on the back. As you look at this painting, you can see his brush strokes. You can see the way that he carefully constructed this together. This is one of his best creations. This hangs up in my office. This is a masterpiece. Part of the reason that it hangs there is my wife didn't want it to hang up my house, but it's still a masterpiece. It's amazing. And as you look at this painting, here's what you need to know today. Here's what I want you to get. If you didn't get anything else, here's what you need to know. Because of Christ, because of him doing all the work, because of God sending Christ to do all the work on our behalf, our identity is no longer found in all of the works, all of the things that we try so hard to make our life be about. And here's what he does. He says, I'm going to raise you up. This little monkey is you and me. I'm going to raise you up, and here's what I'm going to do. We've got this new identity. We've got this new identity here, and the identity is we're his masterpiece. We're his masterpiece. And so here's what happens. This is literally what happens. Watch this. When you put your faith and trust in Christ, you can't forget this. God literally takes you out of everything that you think about your identity. He removes you out of it. He takes you out of it, and he puts you in a complete new position to him. You have a complete new identity, and your identity is a masterpiece. I don't know about you. Sometimes I don't feel like that. Sometimes I don't feel like God's masterpiece. I feel lonely. I feel sad. I feel discouraged. I feel like, man, nobody really understands me. Nobody gets what I'm going through. Nobody else has to have the same challenges that I get. Why did I have to be born into this family? How come I can't be good at this thing like that person? How come I can't get attention like this person? Maybe that's you. Why can't I be good at sports like this person? And what God reminds me of is, Rick, you don't have to do all that anymore. Because you don't get your worth, you don't get your identity by all the stuff in this box anymore. You get your identity right here. So what I'm going to do real fast as we finish is I'm going to give you a few things that the Bible says about you and me. And if you have your cell phone, I want you to grab it. Because I'm going to put some stuff on here. And at the end, I want you to take a picture of this slide. And I want you to put it in your cell phone. You might even save it as your background on your phone. You might even need to look at it this week, and I want you to remind yourself of what God says about you, because you're not just a masterpiece. Let me tell you what else you are. You're God's beloved. You're his beloved. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you put your faith in him, you are a child of God. It says this, that in 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Get this. I want everyone to listen to this, and I want you to think about this. This is the God of the world telling you this is what you are. This is you. If you have put your faith in Christ, this applies to everybody in this room. You're beloved. You're a child of God. You're forgiven. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we may die to the sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. You're washed clean. You're washed clean. No matter what you've done in your life, no matter what mistake, no matter what bad thing you've ever done, the Bible says if you put your trust in Christ, you are washed clean. The bad things that you've done that you would write on this box, they're gone. It's blank slate. You've been washed clean. The Bible says that you are free. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. You are righteous. You are righteous. You're new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You're a saint. You're set apart. Get this. You're set apart. You're chosen. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Get this. This one's kind of funny. You're a sweet aroma. You ever smell weird? You ever like, man, I smell bad? The Bible says this, no matter how you smell, you're a sweet aroma. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Have you ever been to the mall and you walk past the Cinnabon area where they sell the Cinnabon? And it just smells so amazing, right? It doesn't matter how bad of a day you're having. When you walk by the Cinnabon booth at the mall, you're just like, man, that's amazing. And you know what happens? You're just like, man, I want the Cinnabon. I want the Cinnabon. It just draws you. The Bible says that is who you are. That you have that aroma that if you're in Christ, people look at you and they go, man, there's something different about you. You have a sweetness about you. And that's Christ in you. Get this. This is a good one. You are never alone. You ever feel lonely? You ever feel like even though there's a million people around you that you're lonely, that nobody gets you, nobody understands you, nobody struggles like you struggle, nobody thinks the thoughts that you think, nobody does the things that you do? Get this, the Bible says that you are never alone. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Let me tell you something. I don't know as a middle schooler if you've ever experienced this. If not, you will someday. I experience it right now at 38. Sometimes you'll feel alone. Sometimes you'll feel like, man, my earthly father, he abandoned me. My mom, she doesn't get me. My friends don't understand me. Nobody understands what I'm going through. And God says, look, I get you. I understand. I know everything that you think, every thought that you will ever think of, every scenario that you'll ever imagine. I know everything that you've ever done, and I'm always with you. If you were on a deserted island, we talked about Survivor earlier. God says, look, even if you were on a deserted island, I'm with you. You are never alone. Never alone. Two more. You are wonderfully made. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel like that, right? In middle school, I feel like, man, how come I wasn't made like this person? How come I don't have the gifts that this person does? How come I can't run as fast as that person? How come I can't catch a football like that person? The Bible says it doesn't matter. God made me, and I'm wonderfully made. If you're in this room today and you're listening to me, guess what? God says you are wonderfully made. No matter what, you are wonderfully made. And then finally, number 12, it says, you are whole in Christ. Colossians 2:10, in Christ you have been bought, you've been brought to fullness. I want you to take a picture of this right here. I want you to take a picture. Grab your cell phone, zoom in. We'll leave it up at the end. You can come up and take a picture. And you may set that as your background. You may have to look at that this week. You may have to remind yourself of this because here's what you need to know. This is who you are. Here's the deal, guys. Look, all the stuff that we try to find our identity in, work, school, friends, getting a high score, it leaves us feeling bad, right? Because if we do good at this stuff, we feel good about ourselves until we go to sleep and wake up the next day and have to do it all over again. If we do bad at this stuff, we go home and just feel bad about ourselves because we don't feel like we're good enough. And what Christ wants to remind you of today is you are all of these things. You're everything on this board right here. You know, I'm 38 years old. Like I said, I've been walking with Christ for almost 2 decades, and I still feel like this. I go to work, and if someone says good stuff about me, I go home, and I feel really good about myself. But if I go to work, and then I have a hard conversation, or someone says, hey, you know what, Rick, that wasn't your best, then I go home feeling really bad about myself sometimes. I beat myself up. I feel really bad about myself. I don't know if that applies to you. Like my day can make or break on what people think about me based on what I do, how well I perform. Maybe you relate. I don't know. And what God wants to remind us of today is this. Rick, you're all of these things. It doesn't matter what you do today. It doesn't matter what you don't do today. It doesn't matter where you mess up. It doesn't matter how good you perform. It doesn't matter what you do today. You are all of these things every day when you wake up, when you go to sleep. I don't care what you've done or what you haven't do. Your identity is found in me. You're in this box now. So let me just ask you as we close. Has there been a point in your life where you go, man, I want to trust in Christ. I want to be saved. I want to have a new identity. I want to go from this box to this box. And if you've been made new, if you have transferred your identity, do you need to be reminded of this today? Do you need to be reminded of who you are in God? Let me pray. Father, I thank you for the good news of the gospel. I thank you that because of Jesus, our identity is forever changed. We don't have to perform for people. We don't have to do good all the time in order to be accepted, that we are wonderful in your sight just because of who we are in you. And so I pray for these students. I pray if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, anyone here today that has never put their faith and trust in you, that today would be the day they talk to their leader, they talk to their parents, and they go, hey, I want to have my identity found in Christ. And I pray for anyone here today that is struggling, that feels beat up, that feels discouraged, that feels like they're not good enough, that they be reminded of who we are in you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, guys. Nope.